Hello and welcome to episode 11, season 2 of The Purple Patch, a Fremantle Dockers podcast brought to you by two fanatical Fremantle fans, Duck and Oz here from The Purple Rain. And Oz, once again, we're doing the remote location style podcast, mate. I've got a little bit of the flu. You've had a little bit of the flu, mate, but we're still avoiding each other. Just doing the right thing. How you going, bro?
Yeah, a little bit plus a little bit equals a lot of bit. Yeah, quite interesting, mate. As you would expect, you know, when you're trying to battle the mad flu, mate, it's a lot tougher. So,
well,
hopefully we're up and about for this game, mate. I tell you what.
Yeah, mate. So Saturday night, mate, back to Docker time. Put the cape on. 6:10 on Saturday night, we play the Carlton Blues. Both teams are 4-6, mate. Obviously, in the preseason, we went down to Ballantyne Oval or whatever it's called, David Gray's Reserve or whatever it's called,
yeah,
Brady Gray's Reserve.
Yep.
We actually beat them quite easily from what I remember. And obviously, last year, round 15, 2019, lost by 4 points after kicking 5-0 in the first quarter. And absolutely, you know, the boys were home, set and sail, like, sign up, Ross, 5 more years. And then I think we were down in with the Dockers media guys and we went up the top with the general media. And they were all up and about to write some positive stuff for once in their lives. And we managed to fall apart in the next 3 quarters. So, look, a bit of a bogey side, the old Carlton Blues.
Yeah, I just have this memory of this one particular season where we played Carlton first and if we had we had chances to beat them, and if we just get over the line, our season's set up. And like you said, they're a bogey team. There's just one of those teams, a thorn in the side. I've done a couple of Melbourne trips where we've played Carlton away, and there's one thing about Carlton supporters, they're unique. They are very unique, Duck, and I would expect it's going to be a unique atmosphere.
Well, I reckon even though it's looking to rain, it might be the biggest crowd for so far this year for us. So predicted showers in the afternoon / evening. So make sure you take your ponchos and your rain coats because it's looking like it's going to rain. But look, hopefully it doesn't because the rain actually does deteriorate our skills. So you know, Oz, it could be a real interesting one. But apparently, you know, tickets are selling fast. So make sure you get in there, you get your tickets, mate. Just before we get on to the rest of the game, just quickly that we actually had an announcement of the fixtures. Come out, Oz. So
yes.
Let's just have a quick look at this. Mate, how's this for some fixtures? Saturday, obviously 6:10, the Doug Nicholls round, and Nicholls, I can't remember what it is, but the Sir Doug Nicholls round.
Yep.
Mate, also, Freo have just dropped the Indigenous jumper for next week. It is absolute fire, mate. It is lit. It's so good. Probably, I'm going to say it's the best Indigenous round jumper I've seen. I'm putting it out there.
Oh, boy.
It's that good. So we play them. We play Sydney Saturday 6:10, so another Saturday night match. GWN Saturday at 2:35. That will also be at Optus. So we got 2 more home games, guys. So make sure you come out and you're getting around the Dockers. Last 2 home games for the season. I'd say more than likely the finals won't be in WA by the looks of things. And then we head over to Queensland. We play Richmond at Metricon on a Wednesday night, mate. 5:10 Wednesday night, so very interesting one there. Then we play Melbourne on a Monday night at 5:10 up at Kazali Stadium up in Cairns. And then we come back down and play North on a Saturday morning at 11:45.
Oh boy.
At Metricon. Last game against Western Bulldogs, TBA. So we'll figure out when they're going to, you know, they'll do the interesting start there. But yeah, it's not too bad, mate. We've got a really, really big chance to run the table, mate, and have a real strong finish to the season, maybe even finish in the top 8, which would be, you know, considering our injuries, would be an absolute, you know, a credit to all the boys that are playing and also J-Lo and his coaching staff.
Look, I'll say this, Duck. There are opportunities in this particular instance to be part of what will be known as the most Dockery of Docker premierships. Trust me when I say we will be an absolute sniff at the end of the year, mate. We are going to be close. We will go very close to running the table. All we need is a little bit of momentum. We've got the boys up and about at the moment. They're playing some great football. They're only going to get better. And hopefully, you know, through the hub, we won't melt like other teams, perhaps across the road, the divide, if you're going to say. We won't melt like that. But I think we'll be a lot better for it. And the way JLo's got the team going, I'm very excited about what the future holds for us. And I tell you, mate, if for some reason there's a final series, the AFL realises that if it wants to make money, it has to actually play football in front of fans. If the final series happens to be split and WA happens to get home finals, I tell you, for Fremantle, it is going to be a one-ticket ride to the GF. I'm giving it the go, mate. I'm telling you, we're going to be around the mark.
Mate, let's get on to the team, shall we?
Boom, just put the song on there, Duck, so I'm not sure if you can hear it on the phone there. But,
I can hear it, mate. I can hear it.
We've got
warms the cockles, back, mate. Yeah. I don't know if you can get the cockles going. I don't know if that's a say.
That's all right, mate. I'll delete it. So we've got Brendan Cox, Reece Conker, and Nathan Wilson. We've got Stephen Hill, Luke Ryan, and Ethan Hughes. And the centre, we've got Adam Chera, Nat Fyfe, and James Aish. Our half forwards, Andrew Brayshaw, Matt Tabanagh, and Michael Frederick. Forwards, we have Lockie Schultz, Rory Lobb, and Mitch Croden. Our followers are Sean Darcy, David Mundy, and welcome back, Michael Sir Walters. And interchange at the moment, we've got Caleb Sarong, Brett Bewley, Connor Blakely, and Taylan Duman. And the emergency's Duck, and this is where it's got us licking our lips here. We've got Jesse Hogan, Tobe Watson, Tom North, and Liam Henry.
That last name really had me licking my lips, mate. Obviously, Sonny in, Collier out with a hamstring. For Carlton, they've got Honey, who's debuting, Josh Honey, and Big Mackay, their big ruckman. Jack Martin, disappointing he's out, even though he has cut us to shreds previously for Gold Coast. And I think his name's Pinonet, the other big ruckman, he's out as well. So, look, Oz, my question to you before we get on to the matchups, mate, do you think this is the best side we've had in so far this year?
It's got to be very close to it. I was actually thinking that, you know, when I saw the team list, I thought, oh, this is a pretty strong side. I think Sonny Walters coming back in. And the question I have for you, and obviously where he's listed, but the question I have for you is, do we have now had the luxury of playing Sonny forward, given how our midfield's been going? Fyfe and Sun with tabs up forward. Oh, that's got me licking my lips, my friend.
Mate, let's just seamlessly transition into the forward matchup then, mate, because I've actually got, for my forward matchup, Sonny Walters versus SPS, the Tin Fruit Man, Sam Petrescu-Seaton, the Halls Creek Cowboy, as he's colloquially known. But look, Sonny, back from the hammy, could play majority forward, mate. Fyfe and Sonny forward. I've just got down here licking lips. Yeah. As one of my notes, mate. So, look, I really hope Sonny coming off the hamstring does play a majority of the game forward. I think we've seen with Mundy, Old Man River, look, he really needs to play in the midfield. Playing him as a half forward or a forward key position player, it's just not working. He's a defender, you know, by trade, and then he's transitioned into one of the great midfielders of our time, mate. And he's just a bit lost forward. So his old head, he's the guy who rolls into the midfield more often than not. We've got Blakely, Sarong, Chera and Brayshaw. No doubt you'll talk about one of those guys. You know, Sarong's coming to his own. Brayshaw, we've seen. Chera, you know, those three guys are really driving us forward, and that's what gets the fans up and about. So if we can see Fyfe and Sonny play majority forward, mate, all of a sudden our forward line goes from a weakness to a strength. You know, because if you've got one of the best small forwards in the game and a medium-sized forward who is, like, draws the best defender, also can kick a goal or two, and they can both, you know, if things get bad, yeah, we can roll them into the midfield. So, you know, it's that be able, that duality, to be able to play both forward. And like we talked about on the Rain ages ago, it's like, okay, if you play Sonny in the guts or Fyfe in the guts, they're probably, like, let's say they're 90 out of 100, both of those guys. They're both great midfielders. But if they go forward, they're like 85 out of 100. Mm. Whereas someone like a Brayshaw goes from an 85 to like a 50. when he plays forward, you know. So his drop off, like that drop off, isn't much. Yeah, that, you know, the midfield's where you win the game, but I really think Sonny's got a big chance to come back, kick maybe four or five. I reckon might be a sniff for him. And mate, obviously SBS, mate. Look, a guy that we were red hot on, and we were very keen to the Dockers to draft. Left foot, right foot, silky skills. He's moved to the back pocket, and they're looking obviously the Carlton Blues to stamp him down as a backman, and they've got another, you know, having that clearly want another skilled player down back. They've got Doherty, they've got Cade Simpson. Cade Simpson, I mean, I think he's about, like, he's as old as Mundy, if not older, and he's one of my favourites that doesn't play for the Dockers, Cade Simpson. I love him, mate, but look, if they can transition him into a half-back flanker and then roll him up into the midfield in time, I think he'll be an outstanding player, but I think that's my matchup. I think Sonny hopefully can teach SBS a bit of a lesson, mate, and hopefully he doesn't get stitched up with holding the ball, Petrescu Seaton, like he did last week, mate. Who's your midfield matchup?
It's funny you talk about Dave Mundy, because I've got Dave Mundy and Patrick Cripps lining up, and I know it's unlikely, but you know what? I'm going with the master and the apprentice here, and if Mundy is the Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn duck, then Cripps would be the Padawan Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited to see the work of both of these skilled players, because of the way that they can influence the contest just by their sheer silky skills by foot, and also their smarts, just being able to read the play and being able to influence the play just by their general awareness of what's going on. It's actually quite unique to see. Now, I know, like, the same as you, we don't want to see the best players scragged off the ball. We want to see the best players have a fair run at it, and I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see both players have the opportunity to strut their stuff for their respective teams, and especially, you know, Cripps didn't play in the last game these two teams met. So if you look at the influence of the game the last time we played, you know, Walsh accumulated numbers, and I'll talk about that last time out, where he amassed 30 possessions. But, you know, Cripps didn't even play, and yet they still had the ability to dominate passages in the midfield. So it's going to be very interesting. He's a beast. You know, what I like about this particular matchup, Duck, is both of these big-bodied midfielders are what you would call prototypes, right? I mean, you know, they're both around that 195-centimetre mark, that magical 90 kegs, and they just impose themselves on the contest. So getting back to Mundy anyway, look, Mundy is fast closing in on his 500 games for the club, Duck. You know, he's played 325, but he'll go around for the next 15 years. Look, he continues to be of value with his clinical ball use, his effortless ability to stroll through the middle and make great decisions with the ball in hand. I think he's also a great mentor for our young midfield brigade, and bang on with what you're saying before, mate. His old head in the midfield makes a massive difference. You know, that calming influence. He's averaging 18 disposals, 2 inside 50s, 9 contested possessions, 3 tackles and 2.8 scoring involvements per game. So his numbers have actually been building, and I think it's recognised now that it does take Mundy some time to build into the season. I mean, particularly as he's getting into the twilight of his career, but we're still seeing the fruits of playing Mundy through the middle and through his sheer skill set. And it's something that just continues to impress me, how he keeps going round and how he keeps building through the season. So that's quite impressive. You know, I've already talked about, you know, the size similarity and the weight similarity, but, you know, when you look at Cripps, pick 13 of the 2013 National Draft. He's averaging 21 disposals, 4 tackles, 3.4 inside 50s, Duck, and 236 metres gained. But what concerns me about this game is his current average of 5 scoring involvements per game. He is a big influence on this particular team. So, you know, he's a prototypical midfielder. He works both sides of the ball. His defensive efforts are very good. And it's likely that maybe Sarong, you know, spends time with him. You know, maybe Mundy is a better size matchup. Obviously, Fife and Cripps has been touted before. So there's potential for whoever goes to him. But I think if we're playing Fife forward more often, I think it was something like 33% or something where he spent time forward of centre, which is huge. You know, expect bigger bodies like Mundy, like Blakely, you know, trying to spend time with Cripps just to ensure he doesn't get off the leash. So that's my first one there, Duck.
Yeah, fantastic, mate. And I really think, I mean, we've got to talk about David Money, the fact he came out, or a bit of banter with Pav last night about how long he's going to keep playing for, mate. But, I mean, I don't really see how Mundy can't not play on next year. He looks great. He only played 68% of game time. If he's the guy who rolls in and gives everyone else a bit of a chop out, that's fantastic, because at the start of the year is actually Sarong. When Sarong came in, Sarong was only playing 60% of game time. Now that's flipped. Sarong's playing 90%. David Mundy's down to the 60, 70%. So, look, I really think it's going to be vitally important to have that guy, the fifth rotation through the midfield. You know what I mean? Fourth or fifth rotation through the midfield. And it just, I think J-Lo, it took him a bit of time to realise, hey, look, we just got to play this guy in the midfield. We can't play him anywhere else. Yeah. You know, like, and that's not a knock on Mundy. It's just, well, he's bloody, you know, 35 years old. you know, look, he's an outstanding warrior. And I really think I think he's smack back on to play 350, you know, in the next 2 years.
Yep.
Hopefully if there's no game restricted.
Five more years, seasons. Lock it in, Duck. Five more years.
Mate, you know, he's got one or two more years. And the other thing about Mundy that's great, he's got three kids, mate, that are all, you know, adventurous young men, and they know about footy, mate. I remember jumping down the lift with them after the North Melbourne game, and one of them was like, we kicked over 100 points.
Yeah.
How good's that? Like, yeah. They know what's going on. Mate, I'll go into my backline matchup before you do your next one. But, look, I've got Stephen Hill versus young Fisher from the Carlton Blues. Look, just on Fisher for a start, he obviously kicked four goals straight last week against West Coast. Second game for 2020, so he's had a bit of injuries, been dropped a bit. Look, pick 27 in the 2016 draft, quick and explosive. He's played 55 games already. He's a Perth Demons boy, so he's one of the red legs, mate. But look, the big question is whether or not he may be heading west in 2021. And, you know, I think someone like him could be very, very good on a Dockers team, mate, especially with his speed and his explosiveness and the fact that he does have a bit of nous for goal, which I really like. And obviously he may match up on the old man, Hill. 30 years old, mate. Look, he's had a real stop-start year. He played from around 4 to 7. Obviously had the calf issue, I think, for a start, or a quad. And then interrupted preseason with the quad, and then he had the calf. Then he had the abductor, played last week. Look, soft tissues have pretty plagued him since 2017. Look, he hasn't had a full season for a while. You know, has he put on too much bulk? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, everyone's got a pH in hindsight, so you never know. But hopefully he can have a real big impact on this game. And the other thing is with Hill that we really want to see is him bouncing both ways. You know, it's good seeing Willow get the ball and just smack it long, or, you know, Ryan get his 500-plus metres gain each week, and Cox and Dooman, the other Bash brothers, are going all right. But, look, we really need that silk off the halfback flank, and that comes in the form of Stephen Hill delivering it off there. And the more we can get the ball into his hands, the better we're going to be.
Yeah, I love that matchup. It's good to see Stephen Hill back again. It's just, you know, he only needs the ball a few times to make a difference, you know, moving forward. He just hits his precision and he hits targets, and as a fan, it's good to see him back, not just for the nostalgia sake, but also in terms of how we structure up, and we're very dangerous. Now, if you throw in Young in the mix there, in terms of, you know, accurate kicks, and obviously you got Willow back there too, mate. I mean, it's, you can't help but be excited about the future of the club. Yeah, mate.
Future's so bright, mate. We've got to get some shade, some Docker shades, maybe.
All right,
your last matchup, mate.
Now, speaking of looking bright here, I've got Adam Chera versus Sam Walsh. I'm going to call this a battle of the early picks, Duck. You know, Chera, pick 5, 2017 draft. Obviously, Walsh, pick 1, the 2018 draft. And both are very exciting young players that have in some way made an impact at their respective clubs. Now, as it stands, the 2020 stats are actually very, very close. So average possessions, 16 to Chez, 17.8 to Walsh. Marks, 3.5 to Chez, 4 to Walsh. Tackles, 4 per game to Chez. Takes the nod over Walsh, 2.4. disposal efficiency, obviously you'd expect Chez to be better at 74.4 and Walsh a bit more in and under, a bit more gutsy, is 62.9%, more of a grunter. But the danger with Walsh is his clean hands and ability to be calculated with his ball use. He's averaging just under 3 score involvements a game and 272 metres game, which is pretty good for his position. And Chez has recently lifted to 201 metres gained and 2.4 score involvements. So last time out, if you were to look at, you know, how did Walsh go? A very young man, 30 possessions that went down, you know, in a game that went down to the wire. Now, I've been waiting for Chez to put on a show of skills that we all thought that he had from the get-go. But since seeing that in the last game, I want to be spoiled now, Duck. I want consistency now. I want to see that type of game more frequently and to be that clinical and, yeah, take the game on. Be that creative, because that's what we need. We can't afford to be one-dimensional. And what he's able to do with those little side kicks and, you know, just, you know, thinking ahead. For me, he does remind me, and I've said this before, he reminds me a lot of Pendlebury, you know, a lot of those attributes that have been thrown his way. So hopefully that translates to greatness. I think the future is very bright here, Duck, and Chez has control of the light switch, baby.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's two things that I'd love to know. Is that one, I'd love to see, and I've been a big Chez knocker, mate, and, you know, I always want to be proven wrong. That's all I want. I like people who think that I just want to see the Dockers fail and crash and burn is definitely wrong. I want to see Chez play really well. I think that he's played one good game. Let's see a month of it, you know. One swallow a summer does not make. Is one of my favourite sayings. But if he can string together a month of good footy finishing off, mate, he unlocks a lot for us in the midfield, especially across the wing, inside and outside. Says he wants to play inside. He can play both, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And Sam Walsh, man, I think that after the all the vitriol about the Kings and things like that and, you know, redo the draft and Sam Walsh, I think Gary Lyon put him at pick 10 at one stage with Connor Rozee. I think Sam Walsh has done the old Dame Lillard and said, "Put a bit of respect on my name."
Yeah,
and, he's had a pretty good month of footy, mate. Just like Dame Lillard's had a pretty good couple of games of basketball, mate. Look, man, I really think that's a great matchup, and you know, you could see those guys battling it out on the wing for a bit and really going head to head, and hopefully, and you know, I really want to see Chez back up last week where he was probably second best. On ground, best, equal best with Brayshaw. You know, the fruit and veg, mate, as we like to call them, the thunder and the lightning. You know, we really want to see those guys excel, and I can't wait to see Chair back it up this week, mate.
Yeah,
and,
I'm excited.
Play another outstanding game. All right, Oz, let's go to a break. When we come back, we've got Dual Citizens and Best Time They Met. Welcome back to episode 11, season 2 of The Purple Patch with Duck and Oz.
Yowdy.
Two passionate Fremantle fans. Sorry, mate. I'm just looking at my cat. It's climbing up on my bloody bookshelf. Oh, it's having a nightmare. But we're playing Carlton this week, guys. Obviously, 6:10 Saturday night. Make sure you get down there. You jump on board. You get around it, mate. And look, I reckon we're red hot sniff. I think it's time to put up the nose sign, as shout out Juddy would say. And we're a big sniff for the next couple of rounds, mate. So really looking forward to it. Oz, let's get into Dual Citizens, mate. It's time to look at someone who played two games. Played games for both the Dockers and Carlton. Mate, last time out, I did Tilo, one of the greats, mate. But this time, it's time to do the big ruckman, Robbie Walnoff, mate. Pick 42 in the 2005 National Draft. Quickly, the next pick, the very next pick, pick number 43, was one Andrew Swallow, who went on to play 224 games for North Melbourne, I think was captain as well. And I remember I used to live with Gerard McNeil's daughter, shout out to Courtney. I don't know if she'd be listening, but he used to coach the State 18s, and he was like, this guy is the most impressive kid that's come through. He's such a great leader. Absolutely loved him. I was like, man, I hope we get this Andrew Swallow kid. And he just slipped and slipped and slipped and slipped. Got all the way through to pick 42, and I was like, oh, come on, we're going to get him. And instead we drafted a big Robbie Woolnock, mate, who managed to play 21 games in 2 years for the Dockers. Actually pretty good effort for a ruckman. Won the Beacon Award in 2007. As we know, the Beacon Award is usually a great sign for up-and-coming talent. look, traded to Carlton at the end of 2008. Had a bit of the go-home factor. Oz, just quickly, there actually needed to be mediation between Carlton and Dockers. Dockers wanted pick six, who ended up being Chris Yaron. They wanted their first-round pick for Robbie Woolnock. They ended up getting... So Woolnock went with pick 69 for pick 24, 56, and 72. Now, I couldn't actually figure out where pick 69 and 72 ended up going because they weren't picked by Dockers or Carlton, but pick 24 ended up being one of our all-time favourites, mate. My humps, Nick Subin,
who
played 156 games for the club, and Ben Bukovac. Remember that kid? Yeah, played two games for the club. Obviously, mate, it's quite interesting reading Warnock's Wikipedia. So from 2009 onwards, he plays for, till 2015, he plays for Carlton. Plays 67 games, very injury prone, unfortunately. But he managed to sign two long-term lucrative offers. So when he first went to the club, he signed a four-year deal, lucrative deal, managed to play not many games in that first 4 years. Then he got a bit of a run at it, and then he signed a three-year deal, in which was quite lucrative. So, look, man, the big Woolnock, mate. I remember him wearing the long sleeves every now and again, I think, as a ruckman. Yes. I remember seeing him at the Claremont Hotel one night, mate. Stood out like a sore thumb because obviously he's like 205 centimetres, mate. Pretty underrated player, and just couldn't get a run at it because of injuries, mate. And, you know, an interesting pick, I think, back in that 05 draft with Sandy there. And, you know, it was quite interesting picking him. But, look, mate, shout out to the person. And we're trying to, in the reviews, guys, just to make things a bit fun. If you want to review either the Purple Rain or other podcasts or the Purple Patch, what we'd like you to do in the iTunes review is just write your favourite Dockers player who played less than 50 games. And shout out to the person who just wrote Robbie Woolnock, because that's what I want to see, is just reviews with... We've had some from Ryan Murphy, Robbie Woolnock, Clem Michael. I just want to see names, classic Dockers players that were cut down in their prime or didn't get to play more than 50 games for the Dockers, mate. But Robbie Woolnock, mate, obviously a solid player and a good dual citizen.
Oh, I like it, mate. And, you know, it's funny you say that because there's going to be a segue. I'll just put it out there, okay?
Oh!
All right. If you're Marty, can you just grab Einstein? Is it Einstein the dog? Yeah, grab Einstein. Hop into the DeLorean, mate. Here we go. Yeah. Set the timer. 30th of June, 2007, Duck. Round 13. Ooh. On a classic Saturday afternoon, 2:10 to be exact, in front of 36,307 ravenous supporters... Fremantle put a hapless blue bag aside to the sword here. 27-11, 173 to 13-18, 96. Now, we kicked...
Did you say 27-11?
Yeah. We kicked 8 goals in the third term and 9 goals in the final term. When's the last time that happened, Duck? Now, it's not often that you kick close to 100 points and lose a game, but in this case, a staunch defense was not necessarily the priority for either team. Now, 7 Frio players, 7, count them, gathered 20 possessions or more. Matt Carr, 26 disposals, 1 goal. Stephen Dodd, 23 disposals and a goal. Smokey Solomon, 22 disposals and a goal. And 4 Frio players kicked 4 goals or more. With one player kicking a bag. Now, this is the fun game that I'd like to play with you because you can't look at all the screen here, mate. So can you name... the 4 players who kicked 4 goals or more on the day?
2007, yeah?
2007.
All right, I'm going to go Wizard.
Negative. I knew you would say that straight away.
Oh, man. All right. Pav? Pav?
Yes, Pav kicked 4 goals.
Ryan Murphy?
No.
McFarlane? I reckon he played forward.
No.
Oh, man, I'm stinking this up. Medhurst?
No.
Oh, my God. So, Ham, Pav kicked 4. D Des Headland.
No, yeah, look, I was lying to you before, mate. The Wizard did actually kick four goals. I was waiting for you to fire up and go, how, that's not true. I'll watch this game.
Mate, I was like, what the hell?
No, he did. Like, and you were right as well. So, look, Des Headland kicked five goals. Pav kicked four. Peter Bell kicked four. And the Wiz himself kicked four goals two, mate. Four goals two.
Oh, mate, happy days.
And, of course, he got himself a Brownlow vote, Jay Farmer. So that was pretty solid. Now, just to let you know, the Vampire, Scotty T, scored two goals. Lock that in. The remaining goals were spread over eight players, Duck. In
good
fact,
Lord. Everyone kicked a goal.
Only eight players failed to score on the day for Frio. Your dual citizen, Duck, had a solid game with 16 hit-outs and 16 disposals with three tackles. And if you really want to know, the Brownlow votes were Des Headland, three votes, M. Pavlich, two votes, J. Farmer, one vote.
Oh, now, nice.
For the Blue Baggers, Jared Waite kicked five goals because you know that an in-and-out-of-form forward is the best thing for our confidence. He kicked five goals, 13 possessions. Ross Young, never heard of him. He kicked two goals with 12 possessions. And Kuda and Carrazzo both had 26 disposals in a losing side. Side note, Bryce Gibbs played 98% time on ground and only had five possessions. How about that, Duck?
Very interesting.
Yeah. Mm. So, look, good times all round. Your man Ryan Murphy did manage to kick one goal one, but certainly not in the big four.
Thinker.
Yeah.
So, all right, mate, shall we get on to predictions for this week?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, mate, we have been running hot. And we're not allowed to bet on games, which sucks, because we have been absolutely killing it, mate. And if we could, we'd be making money hand over fist. So those people with their hard earned, feel free to listen to Duck and Oz.
Yeah.
Mate, and no doubt it's probably going to blow up in our face this week. But, mate, I think obviously the line is now swung to the Dockers. Started off, I think, Carlton were favourites. It's now -1.5, so pretty much they can't call it the punters cannot decide who's favourites, but Dockers just slight favourites. Oz, I would be very much inclined, and I've just had a look at some disposal markets and things like that, but last week I said, 1-39, under, and Sarong would have paid probably about $6 or $8, depending on what you're looking at. But I think Dockers 1-39, which is a pretty big margin. I think get on Sarong, maybe even a Doherty to get 20-plus disposals, and I reckon go the under because it might be a bit wet. But I think, Oz, we're going to win by about, I reckon Carlton will keep it tight. We'll break it open in the third and fourth quarter, and I reckon we win maybe, I'm going to put out a score, mate. 8-6, the Dockers will kick. Carlton, I reckon maybe 4-goals, I'm going to say they're inaccurate, 4-goals, 12.
Yeah, nice. I've got us winning by 10 points, mate.
One goal, four.
And don't be surprised if a very young David Mundy pops up towards the end of the game when the game's on the line. There's something about around this time of year and David Mundy at crucial points of the game. I've got a sniff there.
Mate, we'll both be having a sniff tomorrow night watching the game. It's going to be good fun, mate. So, guys, get around it. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to the Purple Patch and the Purple Rain. Listen to that as well. That's our other show, our review show. We'll have that up for you guys ASAP as well. And, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. And in your review, just write a Dockers player that's played less than 50 games that you really liked. Or even an underrated Dockers player. One of your fan favorites. Just write your fan favorites. And don't write heaps of Shawnee Mac. I don't want to hear Shawnee Mac over and over. Because I know people will do that. It'll just be Shawnee Mac. I mean, if you do it, you do it. I mean, just do it just to spite me. Also, guys, remember, as a part of the Purple Rain, we are at Purple Rain 95 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We have a store on Redbubble, so look up Purple Rain Pod on Redbubble if you want to buy some merch off us.
What sort of merch is there available, mate, just out of curiosity?
Mate, everything. We got bath mats. They just put it on everything. It's so funny. Everyone's like, who are these models you got modeling for you? And I'm like, mate, it's just random people on... on Redbubble. But, guys, if you'd love to support us, that'd be great. Thanks to everyone who's bought merch already so far. It helps us a hell of a lot, allows us to do podcasts like this. But thank you, guys, for listening, and come on the Dockers. Hopefully you get a big W on the weekend.
Let's do it. Let's go, Freo.